Tonight on Lehigh Valley Discourse, WDIY presents a one-hour edition of Economic Pulse with your host, Cameron Afshar.
The Cameron Afshar Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce Survey of the Lehigh Valley businesses is regularly conducted on a quarterly basis, and about 1,000 observations are collected per year. The Employment and Purchasing Index for the Lehigh Valley highlights the results of these surveys. In July 2014, we conducted our 59th survey of these series. Yes, we have been around for a long time. And businesses expressed cautious optimism in the local economy. Okay, who do we survey? We survey businesses large and small in a variety of different lines of business. Around a third of our respondents are businesses with less than 6 employees. Half of the respondents have between 6 to 50 employees, and a quarter of them have more than 50 employees. Business sentiment, as measured by the overall index, rose to 59.8 in July, a significant increase over April 2014, and the second highest level for this index since 2007, before the Great Recession. The index shows the percent of businesses whose business sentiments are positive. Accordingly, any index above 50 means more than half of the participants were positive about the economy. The July overall data shows around 60% of the participants were positive about the economy. Participants' expectations of the future rose by a strong 11% in July. The largest gain in the July index was in plans for expenditures in the next 6 months. This index soared by 12.5% over its April's level and reached its third highest level since 2007. The index of plans for future expenditure reached 61.5 in July. This was a welcome news after this index dropped significantly over the last 9 months. The average business participating in the survey was planning to increase their expenditures by 1.7%. The trend for this indicator has been rising since 2012. The index of actual expenditures over the last 6 months rose very slightly. This index, after its post-recessionary increase, started dropping from 2012 and has been going sideways since then. The index of actual expenditures in the last 6 months represents where the rubber meets the road. The average company participating in our July 2014 survey reported 1.9% increase in their expenditures. The trend for this index has leveled off at around 1.7% since 2013. This number used to be around 3% in the pre-recessionary years. The index for actual hiring during the last 6 months was the only index in the group that dropped. Despite of that, its trends has been slowly rising since last July. Local businesses also raised their hiring levels from around 0.4 employees for the last couple of years to 0.7 employees as of July. This basically means that while the percentage of the companies that are hiring was slightly lower, those who are hiring more people. The percent of companies which increased their employment has exceeded those who have reduced theirs since April of 2010. And in general, the percent of businesses increasing employment has risen more than those decreasing theirs since the end of the recession. What about plans for future hiring? This index rose to 64.1 in July. This was a strong 9.4% growth for this index. The expansionary range for this index is above 65. So we are getting very close to that, at least in the plans department. The average business participating in the survey is planning to hire 1.1 more employees in the next 6 months. we have not seen sustained plans to hire more than one employee since the Great Recession. This is a significant increase and promises higher employment levels for this year and next should this trend continue. The percent of companies which are planning to increase their employment in the next 6 months rose to 35%, compared to 7% who are planning to reduce. This is also a very positive indicator for future employment. Construction businesses participating in our July survey indicated that they are planning to reduce their employment in the next 6 months. This was the only category that is planning to reduce employment. Accommodation and food industries lead the rest of the local businesses in their expansion plans for the next 6 months. The survey also shows that among different size businesses in the valley, a larger percent of those who are employing between 21 and 50 people are planning to increase their employment in the next 6 months. And as has been the case over the last years, the least optimistic group in the category are businesses with less than 6 employees. Based on our data over the last 12 months, we expect the valley's employment to show moderate growth over the next 6 months. Companies with 21 to 50 employees will lead the growth, expanding at a higher rate than others. And employment is expected to show a higher growth rate over the next 6 months than before. This is Cameron Afshar with Economic Pulse from WDIY.
Celtic Fair, a celebration of Celtic music and culture from its roots in Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Galicia, and Brittany to its branches in Australia, Cape Breton, Canada, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, and the Lehigh Valley. Bringing you music, interviews, and a weekly culture calendar every Thursday from 7 to 9 on WDIY Allentown listener-supported community public radio.
You're listening to WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station. If you appreciate and value the programming we provide, including NPR's in-depth news coverage, our local public affairs programs, and the diverse mix of music we broadcast each day, please consider becoming a member. Membership is our most important source of revenue. We can't do it without you. You can make a secure donation online at wdiy.org. That's wdiy.org. And thanks for your support.
This is the second segment of our release of the July survey of Lehigh Valley businesses. In this segment, my guests are Dave Kepler, Executive VP of Univest, Ed Mahan, Executive Director of the Ryder Pool Foundation, and Tom Demchak, Principal, Fishburne Realty in Bethlehem. Okay, guys, you have heard the report. You know that we have a relatively positive report this time around, and we are looking at businesses saying that they are planning to increase their employment in the next 6 months and even spend a lot more money. What have you guys seen? Dave, start with you. You're the banker.
Well, I'm happy to hear that that's what the market thinks because, you know, banks like Univest stand ready to support their expansion. And quite honestly, for the last several years, businesses have been running about 45 in a 55 zone. So, I mean, attitude sets the pace basically for what people end up doing. And so this is encouraging, certainly. And there's certainly a credit available for those who wish to do such things in terms of expanding, physically expanding, not just adding employees. But obviously, if they're adding employees, they expect to be making more money. And making more money, you know, is certainly an emotional boost to the market. So,
Ed, what about you? Have you seen anything?
Well, Cameron, it's good to be with you, and it's a very encouraging report. Glad to hear about it. I echo Dave's sentiments about the anticipated growth and improvements that we're seeing. I think in addition to Dave's comments, I think about overall quality of life in the Lehigh Valley from a standpoint of a foundation. We think about the attendant you know, housing, health, education issues and how that relates. And so improve business circumstances and improve the economy also helps to think about quality of life overall. So good news.
Oh, great. Tom, what about you? You see anything in your business, people buying more houses, demand for them?
Local real estate market continues to slowly grow. The last couple of years have been dominated by rentals. I'd say this year it's about 50-50. Okay. We're seeing sales coming back in. Supply is tight, which is probably good because it keeps the level playing field between the amount of buyers we have and the sellers. And prices are slowly climbing.
So you are not seeing a major change, but slow growth.
It's been incremental every year since the recession finally stopped.
Oh, okay. And in your business, when was that?
I would say 20, so long ago now, it's hard to remember. 2010?
2010, okay.
I think we're almost at 2005 values.
2000, that's pretty encouraging. 2005 was a pretty good year before it blew up and went to stratosphere. Okay, guys, what about part of the survey that we are looking at businesses that are expanding or those between that have between 21 and 50 employees that appear to be expanding at significantly faster pace than all the other industries, and the small businesses, those who have less than 6 employees, which compose about 50% of all businesses registered in Lehigh Valley, basically are not participating in this apparent growth, or at least not even thinking of doing that?
Well, when you talk about growth in businesses between, say, 20 and 100, it typically means something you can see happen. You know, it might be an expansion to a plant. I mean, we've got a number of prospects on our prospect list who are considering expansions. And then the smaller headcount businesses, they don't have such facilities typically. You know, so you're not going to notice that as much in the marketplace, I think, as mm-hmm. as you notice when you see something coming out of the ground. And typically those are for the businesses with more reserves, a little bit more financial horsepower. So that's
the differentiation. So, Dave, you have seen actually businesses coming, demand for loans increasing with this type size businesses?
Yeah, I would say that's true. But that doesn't mean that they end up getting booked necessarily here. You know, so the competition is stiff out there. We've got world-class interest rates for people who are qualified, who do want to borrow. Mm-hmm. And the banks are all clamoring for those credits because it's a borrower's world, or a qualified borrower's world, I should say. And there are other tools, too, available to the marketplace, economic development tools in terms of funds, discounted loans, the SBA mm-hmm. loans, and so forth. If banks need, you know, complementary funding, but it's a borrower's world right now. So hopefully people, before rates do go up, will make a decision to get off the dime. That's the other thing that will push activity forward, I think, because this will not last forever. And that will be helpful. I think rising rates, marginal rise in rates will stimulate decision-making.
Sure. What about you, Ed? What have you seen?
Well, Cameron, as an economist, this is your area of expertise and not mine, but it just strikes me almost from a layman's perspective that if you think about the economy from 2008 till present, we, I think, have seen as a nation the gradual return of business, and it seems that the smaller companies and the more localized the companies, the longer it's taken. Maybe that's some hesitancy on the part of a smaller business is to think about making investments, taking some risk, and maybe it's just a matter of just kind of, as Dave says, thinking about sort of weighing the interest rates and weighing the risk that you might take. You know, as a nation, when you get stung like 2008, it takes a little while for people to rethink about their confidence level. So I guess one other thing I would add to that is particularly for 21 to 50 employee-sized businesses and smaller is preparation of workforce. And again, when we think about our work with Ryder Poole Foundation, it has a great deal to do with education, skill building, and skill development so that there would be employable people in the marketplace so that when companies are looking to expand, they can find someone with the training, skills, and education necessary.
Well, of course, you are right in terms of the smaller businesses. Their risk horizon is a lot closer than larger businesses because their ability to fail is much more limited. and they will be usually behind the eight ball in terms of getting into the market. And Dave is right. By the time they, that many small businesses who are thinking about that would get in is when they see interest rates going up. And that even helps your customers, Tom, I get to make a decision.
We could push them. And as a small business, I think the small businesses that survived learned to do more with less, and they're going to be very reluctant to just jump in with exuberance and get caught like they did back in 07.
Well, that's a very good and relevant question. You do run a relatively small business, and what are your thoughts in terms of expansion?
Very limited. I mean, I'm going to watch it come. I would like to get my nest egg back that got absorbed in, you know, surviving through the recession. And until that's, I feel real comfortable, things are stable, I'm not looking to expand. But we don't have to. I mean, we've really stayed where we used to be with half the workforce.
Okay.
You know, relying much more on the internet, much more on smartphones, computers, and it's allowed us to really expand our business without having to grow.
That's very interesting that how technology is getting involved in even service industry that we thought at one point in time that there is nothing takes the place of somebody shaking your hand and saying hello to you and that kind of interpersonal relationship.
But it's amazing. I mean, this morning I got two business, purely business texts. You know, even bankers are texting in today's world, you know, for business, not just from our kids, you know.
Well, I just came back from Seattle. Are you aware with Uber.com?
I'm not.
It is a car service.
I don't think they're
registered, licensed, or anything, but we're friends, we're using it. I mean, you just say you want a car. It uses the GPS in your phone. It finds the driver closest to you, sends him a text telling him to go there, and it counts down and tells you where the driver is. It tracks him on a map, and it's usually 3 to 4 minutes max, car standing there. I tried to flag down a cab on Saturday night. I didn't have the Uber app on my phone because they don't make it for BlackBerry. And I couldn't find a cab in half an hour. But six times we used Uber, and every time 3 minutes, we had a car right there, and we went.
Well, yeah, that's the way that the new technology is taking over everything.
Yeah, it strikes me that if you think about 2008 to 2013, the technological advances that have occurred that you don't even particularly think about. You know, was I texting in 2008? Probably not. And yet, I probably had about 15 or 20 texts, you know, just in the 2 hours before this broadcast. So I think the technological changes have enabled businesses to become more efficient and work smarter, hopefully. But I'll go back to the workforce issue, where if you had a workforce in an older economy that perhaps was doing things more manually, let's say, what are the opportunities going forward? If a company can do just as much with fewer people, then what are the implications for overall Lehigh Valley in terms of thinking, well, where do we go in terms of workforce prep to get a modern workforce that will understand how to use technology or be flexible and adaptable enough to be able to accommodate technology as it rolls out?
Well, after every recession, there is a change in mode of production. And as a result of that, we need different types of employees to come up. This one, the Great Recession we went through, because of its length, it had a much more visible change in the type of employees that people need afterwards. And everybody was thinking about, well, we're going to go, the same job will come back. Many of those jobs will never come back. Newer ones, different ones will take their place. And particularly nowadays that we see even manufacturing coming back to U.S. from different countries, which at times is astonishing that you think that, well, they have low-cost labor and all of that. Why are they coming back here? One of the reasons is that labor is becoming a smaller part of this equation, and then all the other factors that are involved, including your market being right here, and if you have your shipping costs from China to United States is high, then at times it makes more economic sense to operate in the United States than have the same factory in China. And at 10% of the labor cost, but then the rest of your cost would be so much higher than it will not only negate the saving there, but increases your cost. So we are looking at changes as we are going forward in the process. Also, another thing we observed in the survey was that of all the different types of businesses that participate in our surveys, the construction industry showed the least amount of optimism. Actually, they're planning to cut back employees, at least the numbers that participated in our survey. And we observed that the accommodation industry and food are the ones that are really running fast forward and expanding. What are your observations about that? Have you guys seen anything?
I think your survey is probably flawed.
Thanks a lot.
I think we talked before the session started that the participants might have been more in the residential construction side because, you know, people aren't going out there and betting on tract developments, acquiring the land, putting in the improvements. Banks aren't financing them. It's too speculative, you know, but the contractors who are involved in the commercial construction and the industrial construction, I think, are all very busy. The excavators are very busy, but not typically on the retail side, on the housing side, you know. And I think the developers themselves are very hesitant to, even if they had their own cash in, to spec a number of homes. It's just they've been burned too. Yeah. So.
Well, the Ryder Pool Foundation and the Pool Healthcare Trust just relocated offices down to 7th and Hamilton. And if you haven't been down there lately, I would encourage you to do so. The construction is phenomenal, and it doesn't look like it's going to end anytime soon. So just from an observational standpoint, it seems to me that construction is alive and well, at least in the commercial development.
Commercial, yes.
Downtown Allentown is going to be a blip in our construction employment for quite a while.
Oh, yes. And if this continues, which I hope it will continue, it will change the face of the city altogether because it will have ripple effects through our economy, and that's a very significant part of the economy.
And hospitality growing makes sense because we've added so many new entertainment venues. I mean, the Sands with their event center. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, people are coming to this area now and staying and doing things for a couple of days, not just coming in and out.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. If you think about, as you say, accommodation and food services, I also think about again, you know, workforce prep. I think about salary levels and things of that sort. I happened to be at 7th and Hamilton to observe the job fair that was held a few weeks ago, and the newspaper reported about 1,000 people online, and I tend to be a good judge of crowd size, and I would say it was more like maybe 2,500 or so.
Wow.
So you've got about 2,500 people looking for, you know, employment. Mm-hmm. In and around the arena. That's probably going to be about 400 or 500 jobs that pay about $8 to $9 an hour. So once again, it's a workforce issue, it's a workforce prep issue, but also if that's the growth in those sectors, then those are not necessarily the higher paying positions.
And one other sector that also is on the rise, and they're constantly projecting a higher number of employees, is healthcare. And since you are well involved in that, what's your observation?
Well, Lehigh Valley Health Network is our primary beneficiary with the Poole Healthcare Trust. They are our cousins. Leonard Poole founded us. Leonard Poole founded Lehigh Valley Health Network. So we have a very close working relationship with them. And they are the largest employer in the Lehigh Valley. If you look at Affordable Care Act and you look at the changes that will take place in healthcare service delivery, it will undoubtedly take hospitals from traditional employment structures that they've had around the bedside in the hospital to more and more community-based and more preventive focus, more and more on an outreach basis. On that note, then if you think about workforce prep, you're going to be thinking more and more about people who have skills on a community level, which means you're going to have more labor-intensive work and probably more employees.
Mm. That's very interesting that you're talking about community-based healthcare now. So it will be decentralized more than, rather than being a larger and larger central hospital, you're talking about the more decentralized types of hospitals?
Well, the term used is population health, but the idea would be how do you care for the residents of the Lehigh Valley in the most efficient way possible. And if you think about getting upstream on issues rather than having people being extremely sick where they're going to need very high-tech and very expensive services, how do you – it's not decentralization as much as a continuum where you would think about if folks really need high-tech and complicated services, it's available. But hopefully we can get upstream on issues to provide the care and support to keep people healthy or keep people – enable people to maintain their health so that they're not required to use the higher tech services available.
Oh, great.
And look at longevity, too. Look at how long our parents are living beyond their parents. My 91-year-old mother is driving. She's a volunteer tour guide at Kirkland Village. She's out almost every day. And
she's French. It doesn't count.
Her parents were in the 50s.
She's French. It doesn't count.
Okay. I'll tell
I'm joking. one of the other items that we are also observing is that business expenditures have been going sort of sideways. And I've just got a one-minute marker. But forecasts about future for a change has started to go way above what it was in the past over the last 6 months. Dave, have you seen any indication of that?
No, but it makes sense. I think, you know, the reality is since the recession, a lot of businesses have whittled away at their overhead like they wouldn't have had to do but for the recession. It's sort of like when Jimmy Carter was president and prime went to 20 and a half. Mm-hmm. Everybody threw everything out of the boat that wasn't needed to keep the boat moving, you know. And I think that's similar. When the top line comes back, for a lot of our businesses, they're going to have not only an encouragement, but they're going to have the financial ability to pursue their goals and to make to do the expansions of their businesses and to hire more employees. So it's really in a sort of a limbo land, I think, of waiting for the top line to come back significantly. We have a lot of customers who are doing very, very well. Most are, but they'll do a whole lot better when the top line comes back.
Mm. What about you, Ed? What's your observation on that?
I'm less engaged in that as Dave is, but I certainly echo his sentiments. And overall, for quality of life in the Lehigh Valley, that kind of growth and the opportunity for growth is certainly encouraging.
Of all the number of different not-for-profit organizations that you sit on their boards, are you seeing any change in terms of contributions that would reflect a higher income, people's willingness to go out and make more donations, which is usually reflective of expectations of higher level of income in the future?
The people in the Lehigh Valley are extraordinarily generous, and we've got a terrific community, and by and large, the citizens of the Lehigh Valley are very well respond to human need and help their neighbors need. So it's always been very, very good. But if you think about philanthropy and charitable giving over the last, say, 10 years, there's really been a shift in giving, and there's really been a shift in how people are thinking about giving. So many folks who are now in position to make charitable donations are also thinking with their head as well as their heart, saying, not only am I interested in making a charitable contribution, but I'm interested in knowing about how will we get results, how can we work smarter, how can I see that not-for-profits that I support are working effectively with other not-for-profits, how can we track and measure that and make sure that the investments that we're making are making a difference and feel better about that. So I think it's the generosity is still there, and it's just as great as it ever was, but I think donors, I think, ask harder questions perhaps now than they did in the past.
Tom, what about you? Obviously, you would observe that in terms of the demand for housing. What type of demand for housing do you see nowadays?
We're not seeing the empty nester downsize yet and go back to the life care type situations. That part is still being held back. They're waiting for those values to come back up where they feel they should be. Mm-hmm. The starter couples are out there very strong. We're seeing people upgrading from those starter homes because they're seeing the rates good, prices are good.
So you see demand moving toward the larger houses or more expensive houses?
Yes.
Okay. I'm giving an indication that our time is running out. I will wrap this segment up with saying that I'm Cameron Afshar with Economic Pulse from WDIY.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. For more information, visit wdiy.org.
WDIY is pleased to partner with the Celtic Cultural Alliance, presenting a Celtic genealogy workshop on Wednesday, August 20th at 6:30 p.m. at the Bethlehem Public Library. Learn how to start your own family research with certified genealogist Frank Southcott. Frank specializes in tracing roots in Pennsylvania and the British Isles, including Ireland, Scotland, Wales, and England. This program will give you an overview on how to begin your journey. The program is free and open to the public. Seating is limited, and RSVP is recommended. For more information, 610-868-9599 or online at CelticFest.org.
In this segment of the release of our report, Business Sentiment in the Lehigh Valley, my guests are Dave Kepler, Executive VP, Univest, Bill Kreitz, President, Hampson R. and Christ, and Ed Mann, who is Executive Director of the Ryder Pool Foundation. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me. Okay, Bill, since you are the new guy here, what's your experience? Have you seen any of this exuberant that the businesses have expressed in our survey in the future in your the demand for insurance, anything of that?
I wouldn't call it exuberance, but certainly there's a more positive attitude than there's been over the last 3 or 4 years. We're definitely seeing some growth in the commercial insurance area. Existing accounts are trading vehicles, getting new vehicles, updating their fleets, which is always a good sign.
Yes.
And payrolls seem to be going up.
Oh, that's even more interesting than the vehicle update. That's great. That's a very positive sign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's no question that there's a more positive attitude out there, though I think there's still a cautious, guarded optimism on this whole thing. Nobody's quite sure if it's going to continue well into the future or not, but certainly right now there's good things happening in, from our perspective in the insurance world and what we see with our clients.
Yes, we have observed a lot of cautious optimism in the data as businesses express strong interest in plans of expansion. But when we ask them that, okay, what have you done right now? Well, we haven't done any of these things as of yet, but we are planning. But what we have seen, of course, is the significant change in the amount of a number of different businesses that are planning at least to expand. Mm-hmm. That's where the hopes are that if this continues, we're going to see some of that happening. What about you, Dave? What are you seeing?
Well, I would say it's more optimistic than pessimistic at this point because, I mean, first of all, when you go through a period of pessimism as we have, everybody is tired of that. So set the numbers aside, just the human spirit, the American spirit anyway, I think, is tries to uplift us along the way, and we just don't let things get us down permanently. So we've been seeing expansions in, we talked about the medical field a little bit ago in the prior session, but medical office buildings are going up, some of them actually to support Lehigh Valley Health Network, regional locations, you know. We've seen some pending industrial plant expansions. We see a lot of refinancing, which is a function of a couple of things, really. Banks, relationship management turnover is an impact on borrowers. They don't like that. And sometimes that gives other banks opportunities to get involved in a new relationship. But largely they're doing the refinancing to gain monthly cash flow. Because rates are so low, they can extend their prior debt roll it out a little bit further and relieve themselves of monthly cash flow so they can reallocate that cash flow into more useful things and growth and expansion. So I would say, I'm more positive than pessimistic at this point. Bankers are always a little bit guarded, you know. And yeah, we have this other flaw where the loans that we make, we really like to have repaid too, you know. So we're always cautious, even in the best of times. But I'd say we're more optimistic than pessimistic, certainly. So,
well, that's good to hear. The banker is more optimistic than pessimistic, and you mm-hmm. are right. Mostly bankers look at the negative side more than they look at the positive side. One of the interesting parts of this survey showed that the index of hiring plans for the next 6 months rose to 64.1, and that may mean nothing in generality, but historically in the Lehigh Valley, when this index has exceeded 65, we have almost always experienced significant economic growth. And it is so close to that point, which is tantalizing. Don't know what's going to happen, what would be the next observation in this, but if this is sustained, it is promise of strong growth, not just a small growth or what we have been observing over the past. Of course, this is not what they have done. This is what people are hoping to do mm-hmm. or planning to do. But we haven't been here either before since the recession. So that is an observation which is, to me, very promising. But again, it is all in the minds. Ed, what do you see in that department?
Well, all in the minds or the attitude or perception is extremely important. I think if you think about 2008 to 2013, we've seen various sectors nationally, recover. If you think about Wall Street to Main Street, and maybe it's time for the Lehigh Valley to be thinking in a more optimistic way. I'm almost thinking it's, pent-up optimism, yeah. It's been a while, when can we, we don't want to miss the boat, when will we jump? And it's encouraging, your report is encouraging, particularly to think about smaller companies and the opportunity for growth. So if we are at a tipping point, it's fantastic because it would be wonderful for the Lehigh Valley to enjoy prosperity going forward.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Bill, what are your expectations of where we are going?
Well, again, I think it looks positive. We're seeing the kind of activity that we'd like to see. And we do a lot of construction business, and certainly in the Lehigh Valley, there's a lot of high-profile construction going on. And that feeds back through the whole system, mostly in the commercial area. The residential area, again, is slow. I think the developers in the residential market are being very cautious, one house at a time type of thing, where you had a company that maybe built 70 or 80 homes a year, now they're building 10 or 15. Okay. And that's coming back slow. I think one of the things that we see personally in our business, but also with our customers, is going to be one of the constraints is going to be adequately trained people to fill the positions. That's a real issue. There's a lot of jobs out there that are going wanting because they just don't have the skill level to fill them. And I think that's going to be a challenge for all of us to provide a workforce that can keep this thing going.
Ed, you observed that before, that the quality of education for workforce, and as technology takes over more and more, the technical know-how necessary to be able to become employed or get a good job is becoming even more important than it was ever before. And this is an accelerating process. It just continues to become more complicated in that direction. If there was a time that I remember one of my friends was telling me, and this is not a long time ago, that a computer on his desk is something that, he works with it, but just he has it there because everybody is required to have one, but nothing that they did. And he said, I do my business by talking with customers. And that guy now carries one of these telephones and has everything on it. And I say, what happened? You didn't even like it. Said, this does everything for me nowadays. What do you see, Ed, in terms of our ability to accommodate that change in our labor force?
I believe this is extremely important, and I feel very strongly about it. I've had the opportunity to work with the Ryder Poole Foundation and the Poole Healthcare Trust for 31 years, and we just relocated our offices to Center City, 7th and Hamilton in Allentown. And it's exciting. It's energizing. There's tremendous work going on, and you can just see the growth and you can see the opportunity. Now, we all know many cities around the country that have brilliant economic jewels in their center city that become absolute ghost towns after 6 p.m. And I think we have an opportunity to think about prosperity for the entire Lehigh Valley because of the economic growth. But the question is, what happens in the adjacent neighborhoods, and how do we link community development to economic development in a way so that everyone can benefit from this prosperity and that we will have the opportunity for everyone to enjoy some improvements in quality of life. I work with the Promised Neighborhood of the Lehigh Valley. I know some of the adjacent neighborhoods. The majority of children who will be entering kindergarten and first grade, according to Bracken scores, which are evaluations of student preparedness for school, the majority of the kids in those neighborhoods will not be ready for first grade. They're not prepared. Why am I talking about kindergartners when we're talking about the economy? Well, those are the folks who are going to be working in City Center in 25 years, perhaps as custodians and housekeeping, and perhaps as engineers and lawyers. The choice is up to us to figure out how to make that happen. In a similar fashion, at the high school level, we have high school graduation rates in some of the suburban districts closer to the 90th percentile, and yet in Allentown, the high school graduation rates are in the 60th percentile. And it's even a little more dire for African American and Latino students. We need these students to be educated, to be ready for the workforce for the future, to have the skills necessary to be able to enable us to do all this work. So while the short-term news is encouraging, I do have some cautious feelings about the need to think about community development linked to the economic development and the opportunity for all of us to benefit from this economic growth.
Yeah, the labor force of the future has to be different from what it was in the past. And it is not just that automation has taken the place of man's muscle. Nowadays, automation is taking care of a lot of thinking. You have these systems that you call the many places, and you are actually talking with a computer that understands what you are saying and is able to take care of a lot of information that is needed and people want on a hurry. And then even if it is still doesn't understand what they say, it can transfer you to the person that is needed. So reduces the number of less skilled people that were necessary. And as this technology is improving, that level going to go higher and higher and higher at who is no longer necessary in the process. And if our educational system obviously is not geared up to that, we will be missing the boat, so to speak.
Yeah, I also believe we need to do a better job of educating the young people as to what is available and where the jobs really are, so that they don't go down skill paths that don't have a future. I think that they have to understand that there are some wonderful opportunities out there, and not everybody has to go to college. We need skilled technicians. I know in the manufacturing area, at least with some of our insureds, the need for skilled machinists is tremendous, and the pipeline is just not being filled with those kind of skills. So something, I believe, has to be done as we work with our young people to really educate them as to where the jobs lie and the kind of skills that they need to attain to really be successful in those jobs.
Yeah, absolutely. Dave, what's your view on this?
Well, Ed was talking about downtown Allentown, and I think downtown Allentown City Center is going to be the exception. I think, you know, the developers down there are looking beyond just 7th and Hamilton, and you're going to see benefits radiate out through the city, I think, like maybe in very few other places. I mean, one of the primary components of the development down there, and Univest is certainly involved in it, along with a number of other banks, is the fact that the developers are very aware that they need residential housing as a part and parcel of that development. So unlike Dallas, where it was years ago, you drive into Dallas, you work, and you leave. You exit, close the door behind you, and then come back the next morning. That's not going to be the way it is in downtown Allentown. And talking about Allentown, you could talk about Bethlehem, talk about Easton. I mean, it's just beyond my imagination, quite honestly, that we now have three downtown areas that aren't blighted as we thought of them 20 years ago, you know, or maybe 10 years ago. We've got three wonderful communities all adjoined in the Lehigh Valley. They're all succeeding and all improving the quality of life here to make the region all the more attractive for people from faraway places, like New Jersey, you know, New York. That's a faraway place. So to get back to what Ed said, now I think, you know, the other thing is along the way, I think our children and we have been, you know, misinformed about what professions we should choose. And maybe led the wrong way. I mean, there's absolutely nothing wrong with being a machinist and making a good living. I mean, it was our parents. There were, you know, it's almost as if we were ashamed to be blue collar, if you will, and that's silly. So I think Bill's right. I mean, we need to re-educate. We need to educate these kids as to what their real alternatives are in life, and it isn't necessarily a liberal arts degree from a very, very expensive school. You know.
Well, STEM is the term used, science, technology, you know, engineering, right, and mathematics. And I, having gone to a math and science school myself, I can, you know, vouch for the fact that, you know, math and science doesn't know gender, doesn't know race, doesn't know ethnicity, right, and it's a way for, it's an opportunity to advance for students who can do that. I certainly also agree that we're going to need plumbers and carpenters and mechanics and people who know how to fix things, and you can make a good living doing that. We mm-hmm. we need everyone to, all students and children to be able to grow up and to become responsible contributors to our collective community.
Sure, and that's the whole idea is that as we are changing and as the job market and the environment is changing, how can we convey these changes to the general public so that people who are the kids that are just getting to high school would be able to recognize that what is going to be available in 6 or 10 years when they graduate from high school or college and become part of the labor force?
And that's a good question.
Very good question.
Perhaps the guidance counselors at the schools need to be more tuned in. I don't know what they do now. I shouldn't really criticize it, but I think they need to be tuned into the job market, what's available. Maybe having employers go into the schools and talk to the youngsters about what kinds of skills are needed, what an employer is looking for in the workforce.
Cameron, you know that I'm involved with the Promised Neighborhood of the Lehigh Valley, and we do work in the old Allentown neighborhood. And the idea would be that you think about a baby born in that neighborhood or babies born in that neighborhood in 2014, and 20-some-odd years from now, we want them to be successful contributors to the community and a positive value add. So how do we do that? Right. How do we make sure they're ready for how do we make sure that mama is healthy, that baby is healthy, that children are prepared to enter school, that they stay on grade level, that they have the opportunities they need to have the skill, the 21st century skill development, to think about technology and such, so that they are prepared for college or career going forward, and meaningful career, not just the stereotypical burger flipping job, but a job that would be a career. So we're optimistic that when you engage communities in that kind of conversation, that parents can think about that a little bit more. And the promise of the promise is, you know, we can promise to do some things if you promise to do some things, and maybe we can have some benefit.
Yeah, the job of the future will definitely be significantly different as we are moving even in manufacturing, and the way that we look at manufacturing going to change. Its factories would look different as we are going forward with these three-dimensional printers and stuff like that, that becoming now more and more common in the different productions. It's the whole change in the process that is coming, that even to work on a factory floor, you need to be able to work with all these computers that are working alongside you on the factory floor. It's no longer just you can arrive there in the morning without any education or any information, technical knowledge, and make it happen. So that's probably what we're going to see as we are going forward in not only Lehigh Valley, everywhere, but the catch of staying with it, because the change is a lot faster than we had in the past. And adjusting to that change is one of the issues that we are looking for. In banks, some banks nowadays are just electronic. There is not even a building or a person you can go and say hello to.
It's hard to argue with the teller, you know. It really is. So, well, banking is still, actually, my kids, I don't know if they've ever been in a bank. They deal remotely, you know, through the internet. They open accounts. They transact business from afar. And, I mean, even I make a mobile deposit once in a while, if and when I ever get a check for any reason, which is very infrequent anymore. So, yeah, things are changing significantly. At the end of the day, on the commercial side, though, which is where I spent my entire 42 years, is it's still pretty damn personal, you know. Yeah. It gets very personal, not unlike Bill's business. It's a very, very personal business when you talk about funding someone's dreams.
Dreams, yeah.
You know.
Sure.
So banking, it'll continue to change, but there will be things that remain pretty much the same.
I would like to ask you guys to make a one-minute statement about your business and the economy. And let's start with you, Dave. You just jumped.
Well, Univest is over 130 years old. We started in Bucks County, Montgomery County. Still have primary locations there, about 30-some-odd branches. And we're now extending down into Philadelphia region with the acquisition of a bank recently and the acquisition of an insurance agency, Stern Insurance, very recently. We like to do things sort of the old-fashioned way, with a little bit of new technology thrown in, you know, because I think there's a limit to how much technology people are willing to accept. And so we look very much forward to expansion in our markets in our Chester County area, Lehigh Valley. My group is responsible for a significant piece of our incremental growth beyond the organic growth. And UNIS is doing very well. Right. We're a multifaceted financial services provider, and we moved into Bill's territory a little bit with the insurance in recent years, you know, but we'll be friendly competitors. So.
Competition is always good.
It's always good. It's always good.
Yeah, our business, Hampson Merrick Kreitz, is a multi-line brokerage service, insurance, primarily property and casualty and benefits. We're celebrating our 100th year in business, which is an exciting time. And now we're trying to make sure we're around for another 100 years, which is a challenge. I think our business in the Lehigh Valley, we're very bullish on the Lehigh Valley. It's a great place to do business. It's a great place to live. There's bumps along the road, but we're planning to continue to grow. We're expanding our office space right now. And I said the challenge to us is finding the right people and putting them in place. And it is a relationship business and always will be.
Great. Ed?
Cameron, thank you again for inviting me. I appreciate it, and I'm happy to hear the news of the report. The Ryder Poole Foundation and the Poole Healthcare Trust are very interested in quality of life in the Lehigh Valley. The Healthcare Trust was founded by Mr. Leonard Poole, and the trustees are interested in fulfilling his dream of enabling Lehigh Valley Health Network to be a superior regional hospital and improve the health of the citizens of the region. We've made about $16 million in grants in the last 12 months and largely focused on education and the kinds of infrastructure needs to talk about the community health and population health things that you've referred to in this conversation. With Ryder Poole Foundation, we are very interested in the idea that Dave had alluded to about what about community development around the economic development that is occurring and all of the attendant issues with education, health, public safety, housing, etc. So I'm happy to work with my private sector buddies, and the not-for-profit world needs to step up and play its role in terms of thinking about delivering on measurable results.
Fantastic. And we, this time round, our news were pretty good about the next 6 months in the Lehigh Valley, and we are, our forecast is about expansion, not a rapid one, but a decent expansion in the next 6 months. This is Cameron Afshar with Economic Pulse from WDIY. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cam.
The 4-minute version of Economic Pulse with your host Cameron Afshar can be heard Friday afternoon on All Things Considered and Monday morning on Morning Edition here on WDIY Allentown. Stay tuned for Celtic Fair coming up next on WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.